This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, in studio with me today, besides my producer, Logan Booker, is Dr. David Gaddy as my guest co-host today from the University of Georgia. Welcome, Dr. Gaddy.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be with you this morning.
And John Crawford, he's a principal in Coleman Tally Strategies. John, for the first time, welcome to Energy Matters.
Thank you, Tim. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, you know, we're in Athens, but, you know, South Georgia is a place a lot of Atlanta people never go. And both of you have a connection to South Georgia. John, let's start with you and talk about Valdosta a little bit. Tell our audience where Valdosta is and why do people live there?
Well, people live there because it's a great place. But Valdosta is the midpoint between Atlanta and Orlando, right off of I-75. So we catch a lot of the traffic from folks from North Georgia and really the northern part of the United States that might be going down I-75 to go see the Mouse in Orlando. We get a lot of overnight traffic that way. But, you know, it's home to Valdosta State University. It's home to Wiregrass Georgia Technical College. There's a great industrial mix and an agricultural mix. And, you know, we like to say sometimes there are two Georgias, and we do like to remind our friends from the metro area that there's another part of Georgia, and it's a great place to live, and I'm proud to call it home.
Dr. Gaddy, you and I have a little bit of a southern accent, so folks know that we're from Georgia, especially when we go to conferences and we're out of state. But even in state, I think people in Georgia recognize a southern accent. What part of South Georgia or middle Georgia are you from?
My wife and I are both from Macon, Georgia, but we spent time down in Sumter County, down in America's Georgia, when I was working for Sumter EMC back in the 80s. Spent a good bit of time down in Valdosta a few years back, did a watershed assessment for them with the Coochee River. Spent a lot of time traipsing around down there. So, but when I travel around, Tim, with my accent, they actually have to use subtitles to explain what I'm saying.
John, as you think about agriculture in South Georgia, I mean, I hear that farms are getting gobbled up by bigger ag companies, and I mean, is the small farmer, are they still in existence?
They are still in existence, and they face a unique set of challenges because there is tremendous pressure to sell out to the larger conglomerate farms. Working with the legislature closely like I do, Senator Russ Goodman, who chairs the Senate Ag Committee, happens to be our 8th District Senator, and he's from just over in Homerville, which is one city over from Valdosta. He and I talk a lot about the challenges that the family farmers face. And even 10 or 15 years ago, there were a lot more family-owned farms all over Georgia. So it is changing, but the ones that are hanging on, I mean, it's the spirit of the American farmer. They're sort of dug in, and they're gonna find a way to continue to do what it is that they've done in some cases for generations.
Dr. Gaddy, in a way, the interstates have kept people from enjoying the quaintness of some of these small towns. A town like Macon, where you're from, I mean, Macon in the day was a substantial community with over 110 trains letting passengers off there at that beautiful train station per day. They were getting their power from Jackson Lake or the Lloyd Shoals Dam that had been financed by the Bank of Scotland that was powering Macon and Forsyth and Griffin and all the mills and businesses that were there. Now people just drive through it on the bypass or go down 16 to Savannah, and they don't really get a chance to really enjoy the beautiful architecture and the quaintness of the city.
So I appreciate that, Tim. Macon's really done a lot of work over the past 10 or 15 years to refurbish downtown Macon in particular. And your reference to that train terminal down there, that was always one of the central points. We loved that place. It's worth stopping in there now. Mercer University has done a lot to bring back a lot of that downtown feel to Macon, Georgia. And they've done a good job. It's worth pulling off when you're coming down 75 and pulling over and just going into downtown Macon and getting something to eat and sitting on one of those sidewalk cafes and enjoying it. It's pretty fun. And the municipal, you know, the old auditorium down there is still just one really nice piece of architecture.
John, there's some study money going to Savannah to study the, I guess, the restart of the Nancy Hanks train line that went from Atlanta to Savannah. And, you know, as you think about all this happening in Savannah right now with the Hyundai plant and all the manufacturing coming in there, the growth of the port, do you see a day when something like that could happen, and how substantial do you think that could be to commerce for the region, and especially in Southeast Georgia?
Well, I think rail service is critical to manufacturing. I'm a big proponent of traveling by rail. I've got a little nostalgia. My wife and I both enjoy doing that, so we've done that several times, gone from Atlanta to D.C. on the train. It takes a little longer, but it's fun. But, you know, to move, I mean, you've heard it said a lot from the trucking industry and also from the rail industry. I mean, if you bought a product today, there's a pretty good chance it arrived in that store at some, or it traveled to that store at some point via rail. And as the Port of Savannah continues to be, you know, challenges to be the most, deals with the largest amount of payload on the eastern seaboard, I think that rail is going to be critical to Georgia's future. In Valdosta in particular, we just announced a couple of weeks ago that Walmart's going to open a massive dairy production facility. And while I don't know if it'll be shipped via rail, but that type of manufacturing, it's basically going to be a milk source and a dairy source for the entire southeastern United States. So trucking and rail both, I think, are critical to Georgia's economy.
Dr. David Gaddy here. Dr. Gaddy, you're hearing this about the Walmart dairy processing facility, yet another big facility coming to Georgia. Why do you think all of these people are coming to our state?
Tim, I've probably been in about 15 to 20 states over the past three to five years, and they're coming here for a lot of good reasons. We're the business friendliest state in the country, no doubt. But the audiences that I'm speaking to are coming here, Tim, because they know there's a long horizon for reliable, affordable energy. They wish they were us. They wish they were Georgia. They wish they had two nuclear reactors coming online. That they wish that they were building out natural gas and solar like we're doing. They're coming here because they know there's a long-term future for reliable access to affordable electricity.
John, one of your clients is Arglass, and I know that Commissioner Shaw, my colleague, and I are doing a glass recycling contest for high schoolers across the state. Tell us a little bit about this very unique facility, because apparently we just don't have a lot of these being built in America right now.
We're not. Arglass opened in Valdosta a couple of years ago, and they produce food-grade glass containers, glass bottles. They make spirits bottles, juice bottles, soft drink bottles. They're the first plant of its kind built in the United States in a number of years. Because it's a new plant, they're committed to, you know, cutting edge technology. They are working with Georgia Tech to make sure that advanced manufacturing is a part of everything that they do. They are currently in the process of designing and will very soon break ground on a $200 million glass furnace in addition to the furnace they already have. They are constructing that furnace in such a way that they could fuel up to 20% of their energy need with hydrogen, if we can figure out how to get the hydrogen to Valdosta. And then the other thing that they're working with, and thanks to your leadership and Commissioner Shaw's leadership on the Public Service Commission, they're working on ways to incentivize and encourage glass recycling, because it reduces the cost of making new glass. It can be recycled throughout, you know, forever. You can recycle a glass bottle. One of the numbers that just really struck me when I got in, started working with Arglass, the city of Jacksonville, Florida, recycles more glass than the entire state of Georgia. So that's something that we're trying to get ahead of and encourage more people to get interested in glass recycling.
Dr. Gaddius, people get in the habits of doing certain things, and we've seen even here in Athens-Clarke County just the power that refuse companies have, right? So when they refuse to take certain things into the recycle stream, well, it's over, right? Unless somebody steps forward. And there's only a few counties in Georgia and a few cities that handle their own trash.
Yeah, and You know, Tim, that's really a good point. When an industry is primed to spin up like this, it's very disappointing to hear that one of the reasons they can't do it in a particular state or a particular county is because they can't access the energy that they need. Hopefully, Georgia's never going to be in the position that when an industry comes knocking at our door, that we're going to tell them we can't help them because we don't have the power and the electricity to provide their needs. Georgia doesn't need to be in that position. You made a really good point. This is why you folks on the commission need to be looking 15, 20 years down the road, not just next 2 to 3 years.
John, just a final minute of the show here. Our glasses, they've done some creative things across the ocean, and then they're bringing that institutional knowledge, that desire here. They just need a little bit of help, and I know I'm very committed to helping them, as is my colleague. And I think the more elected officials find out about this opportunity, the more they're going to get behind them.
Well, and we try very hard, and we're bipartisan in our approach. We want, you know, you've toured the plant. It's a fascinating process. I recommend anybody that wants to tour the plant to come in the winter. It's the furnace is about 1300 degrees. It's quite a process. It's a fascinating process. You know, Arglass, you're right, Arglass is has brought some knowledge from some of their European partners, where in Europe they have embraced hydrogen and renewable energy. So we want to bring some of that to South Georgia.
Well, John, thanks so much for being on the show today, Dr. Gaddy. Another segment coming up in just a minute. It's Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Eccles here for GEM Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, Tim Eccles back on Energy Matters, wrapping up that conversation about glass recycling. Casey, we talked about all kinds of recycling on this show before. We've emphasized that at our Darien Earth Day event, and now the next Earth Day, we're going to be at Zoo Atlanta giving out cash prizes to high schools that have participated in this statewide glass recycling program. Oh,
that's excellent. Well, as we've talked about, it's something that's sorely needed, and it's great to have the kids involved in this.
Yeah, in studio for this second segment, Jeff Pratt with Green Power EMC. Welcome back, Jeff.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invite. Love participating in the show.
And Danny Johnson from Georgia Power. Danny, how's it going?
Going great. Again, glad to be here and excited about the conversation.
Yeah, Danny, let me start with you because you work with a number of low-income Georgians and others about the prepay program. I know these meters that we have, these smart meters, these AMI meters, it's allowed us to do things that, frankly, we weren't able to do before. Why are the meters so magical?
Well, for one thing, from a customer's perspective, the meters are magical because it gives the customer if in the event their power goes off, they can get the power back on really within 30 minutes after a payment is made. In addition to that, we're able to really track performance and load data that allow us to be able to build programs that really enhance the quality of the lives of our customers who choose that rate.
Jeff, let me ask you about smart meters. You work with the green energy aspect of our EMCs. You gather green energy for subscribing EMCs. Are smart meters important when it comes to solar?
It is very important because without understanding the profile that a house uses, not just the total energy in a month, but understanding hour to hour how energy is used, helps us provide specialized products and services to a customer so that we can meet their needs based on how they use electricity, just not in aggregate in the total. But it's very important, Tim.
Casey, I think about some of the high-tech stuff out there. Not everything out there can so many people benefit, but these meters have enabled us to do some incredible things.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to hear both of your takes, because both of you spoke about what the smart meters allow you to do as the utility, or as you know, serving the utility. But it also allows you to do things for customers in terms of their awareness of their energy use. Can you guys talk a little bit about that and kind of how that plays with the prepay?
Sure, I'll be glad to. One of the things that our customers have learned to do is manage their energy use more effectively. It's a really good program. Pay-as-you-go is really what a prepaid program is, and it allows the customers to understand how they're using their energy, and based on that usage, they can really scale up or scale down to make sure that their money gives them the most effective use throughout the course of the day.
That's a great point, and it makes a lot of sense. The co-ops also have prepaid programs very similar to the one that Georgia Power has, and it gives customers control. It gives them visibility into how they use electricity, and it helps them say, you know, listen, it's a high cost period of time. I don't need to wash clothes today because I can put it off 3 or 4 days. I get paid on Friday. My clothes washing is going to be Saturday. And it helps them manage their cash flow in a meaningful way and understand when it makes sense.
Casey, I've said all along that we're taking the least likely people who would be geeky, and we're turning low-income folks who are struggling sometimes to even make a payment, we're turning them into energy geeks, and they know what it costs to run their house on a daily basis. How cool is that?
It's fantastic. And that sophistication in energy use is really important. I mean, as you know, and our regular listeners know, you know, I do a lot of consumer research, and you know, one of the things that we see is very mistaken notions about what drives the electric bill, and specifically, people think that consumer electronics use a lot more energy than they do because they're always plugging them in, right? So they must take more energy. Reality is they don't, right? It's doing the laundry, it's running the AC to cool the house more than it needs to be, or running the heat more than it needs to, and so that visibility to really understand, okay, these are the things that are driving my energy bill. And you know what I can do to then make that money go further if you're on a prepaid program is fantastic.
Both of your organizations do a lot with energy efficiency. Danny, the first thing I did was put more insulation in the house that we bought. I put one of those little insulated doors around the attic up there, the little curtain to block that attic air from coming down into my house. How important is energy efficiency in helping people kind of take control of their energy bill?
Well, just staying with the themes, take control. If you can make sure that you go ahead and weatherize your home, and it doesn't take much. You can really take about $150 to $250, go to a Lowe's or to a Home Depot and buy small things that will make a big difference in your home. Making sure you set that thermostat at 68 degrees for heating, 78 for cooling. And also educating your kids in the house about how to use energy pays big benefits for our customers around the state.
Jeff, are you seeing EMC customers take advantage of energy efficiency, things like smart thermostats and insulation? Is that something that the EMCs are tuned into?
Absolutely. It's been I've been involved in that area of the business for over 30 years, and it has been a consistent piece of the business. I will tell you, the insulation is not a sexy part of the process right now. It is not exciting What they're interested in is saving money by putting solar panels on their house. But there's a connection here. The connection is if they will insulate their homes, they won't have to spend as much on solar energy on rooftops to make a big difference on their bill. If you don't insulate, take care of your building envelope, then you don't matter whether you heat and cool with solar, you heat and cool with natural gas, heat and cool with electricity. The building envelope is critical to making all this work.
Casey, there is an order that you should do these things. I know a lot of people see the solar, they see commercials, maybe somebody came to their house and knocked on their door. I mean, both you and I have solar on our house, but we did the energy efficiency part first, right?
Yeah, because just as Jeff said, you don't need to spend as much on solar if your house is efficient. And not only do you not need to spend as much on solar, but your house is more comfortable. And so, you know, it may not be sexy, but it is the right first step is make sure your house is as efficient as possible before you go down the road of doing solar.
Danny, let me ask you, because I know that we've been dripping in community solar throughout, you know, maybe the last 8 years, and helping customers understand what it is. I mean, people want to participate in this, you know, green energy economy. And so, but sometimes they're renting a house, right? Or they're in an apartment. Community solar lets them still be a part.
Right. What we're trying to do with community solar is make it affordable for everybody. And through our DSM programs, we've reduced kilowatt hour usage about 4 billion kilowatt hours since 2011. That makes a big difference. With community solar, what we're trying to do first is educate the public about the programs and then make sure that we get the right customer on the right program. Community solar is going to make a big difference in the state.
How does that program work? How do you interact with these member-owned EMCs and subscribe and get the green energy that they're wanting for their members?
So Green Power EMC is owned by and was created by these 38 electric cooperatives in the state who are the retail power suppliers in the co-op communities. So what they've done is created an organization that can buy solar energy and create programs at scale. It reduces cost. It gives them manpower that they share across the state. And so each of these co-ops subscribe to big projects. They could ask us to do small projects in the community, but we have the expertise that we bring to bear on their behalf for the owners of our business, which are those individual co-ops, to bring value.
Casey, just down the road from this studio, Walton EMC, one of the early EMCs to do cooperative solar. I bragged on them at national conferences, and they've figured out how to do it. And of course, having your own land, being able to save that land cost, and that really helped them be successful for that. Are you seeing community solar projects pop up all over the country?
They are, for sure. And I think it's exactly, you know, what we were talking about in terms of the option or the ability for people, particularly who can't go solar for whatever reason, to participate in solar and get the benefits of it, right? They might have, you know, too many trees, or their roof is facing the wrong direction, or they need a new roof, or they're renting, or there's plenty of reasons why people can't put solar on their home, but many people want to, and we are seeing community solar, and importantly, we're seeing other utilities doing what these guys are doing around providing the different options, right? Whether you want to do it on your own home or whether you want to be part of this community solar program, it allows everyone to take part.
Just another minute in this segment. Danny, you know, if a listener's out there, they're struggling, and you know, and maybe they need to go to an action agency and sign up for, how does all that work to get assistance?
So there are 23 Georgia community action organizations around the state. What they can do, we have a CART tool, community assistance and resource tool. They can go to Georgia Power, type in their zip code, and those local agencies in their communities will be available right at their fingertips. In addition to that, they can reach out to Georgia Power Energy Assistance, and we can certainly help shelter that call or that contact to one of those local agencies. They do great work.
Casey, we're going to bring the guys back, talk a little more about community solar, a little more about some of the projects going on around the state. We'll talk a little more about these meters and some of the customers that Danny Johnson and his folks are working with. This is Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Mr. Echols, this is Christine Turner. I wanted to tell you personally how much I appreciate you help getting our power back on in Locust Grove. We got it back on as soon as you sent the email to the president. It came back on about 10:30 Saturday night, but I didn't get home till 10:30. Staying with my friends, Diane and Johnny died. I think you're friends with your mom and dad that gave you your phone number. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that.
Hey, Tim Echols, back another segment here. Danny Johnson, Jeff Pratt, Casey Boyce with me. Casey, every show that we've ever done, the Salvation Army has been a sponsor on this show. Jeff, I know I'm a member of Jackson EMC. I participate in Operation Roundup and have since I've been a member. What is Operation Roundup and what happens to that money?
Well, that's a great program that supports community-based organizations and customers in need that are having difficulty paying bills, doing what they need to do just because of life circumstances. But how it works is when you pay your bill to one of the co-ops who participate in this program, your bill usually comes out to, you know, $102.50. Well, instead of paying the 50 cents, you say, I'll pay $103, and you round up your bill. And with millions of customers, that money adds up. And it's a way for folks who can pay their bills today to give back and give pay forward to others that are struggling, because we never know when each of us might need help in this community. So that's how that works, Tim.
Danny, on the bottom of the Georgia Power bill, and I was a Georgia Power customer at my Winterville house, and we checked the box for Project Share. And even now with Jackson EMC, they do that as well. And so I'm participating. Tell us about what happens when you check that box. What does it trigger?
Okay, so we've Georgia Power's had a partnership with the Salvation Army since 1985. Over $70 million has been returned to the community. So when you check that box for $1, $2, $5, or $10, that money that's donated by our customers is returned right back to those communities in which the donation came from. And it does a great amount of good deeds and really helps customers pay their bills simply by checking the box. There's a way to, if you want to do a one-time donation, you can do that as well. But it's about really having customers around the state who are willing to do more and donate through that Project Share program.
Casey, when you're talking about triggering a matching contribution, and in this case, more than a matching contribution, a dollar triggers a dollar. $1.50, it's one of the best deals going.
Yeah, and I was going to ask that, right? Because that's the other piece of it, is that Georgia Power is also contributing when people make that decision to check that box, right?
That's correct. Up to $1.5 million. So that matching fund amplifies the benefit across the state. So I appreciate you bringing that back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Casey, I just think we need to continue to look for ways to help people that are struggling. And, you know, that's what I love about the prepay program, because they're getting smarter. They're learning what their house does. We're seeing customers, get rid of arrearages that they've accumulated for whatever reason because of that. Right, Danny? The arrearages are going away with the prepay program.
That's correct. The prepay program allows customers to pay 75% of their payment goes toward their future usage. 25% eliminates that arrearages. And it's a really good program. Again, we have about 80,000 customers who are benefiting from our prepaid program.
Casey, these arrearages that people accumulate, it can be a real drag on them. It's just this cloud over their head. They can't seem to get clear of it. And so we really help them, I think, by teaching them how to manage energy rather than just, as some utilities have done from across the country, just, automatically taking money from some customers and giving it to others. I'm not really keen on that, especially if it's not teaching anybody anything. I really want to help our customers become smarter.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've seen, Tim, we've just talked about it on the segment, right? You never know when you're going to need help, but that's a really tough position to be in. People don't want to be in a position where they owe more than they can pay. And so giving them the tools to be able to control what they owe and being able to pay back the arrearages, those are really important things to do, because it's kind of this base human need, right? That there's no one out there saying, I'm going to use all this power and I'm never going to pay Georgia Power Company, right?
Right.
Everyone wants to do the right thing and they understand what that looks like, but they may not have the tools.
Jeff, let me ask you to kind of look out into the future with renewable energy for a second with the EMCs. I mean, where is it going? You've accumulated quite a bit. Is it going to continue to grow? Is it going to level off? What's the appetite within our EMCs for solar energy?
It's still growing. Now, it's going to grow in fits and start and peaks and valleys, depending on what the market's doing. Depends on what's going on in the wholesale power supply world with the co-ops. But in general, I see a future where what's in the state today will probably double in the next 10 years. And I'm not speaking for Georgia Power, but I know a lot of your colleagues there, and we're saying the same thing.
Yes.
It has to grow. We need all of the generating options we have on the table to meet the growing appetite for energy, efficiently appetite for energy that's out there. And solar has to be a part of that, because other avenues that we are moving away from, like coal, are not options. So we need all the avenues on the table. I think solar will double. I think solar, we have to get smarter about how we implement it. We're going to have to think about things like managing the solar output in a meaningful way, as opposed to taking the energy whenever the sun shines. We need to use batteries to smooth the output of the solar in a way that adds more value to the grid, and use electronics that are coming about and sensors to make sure we apply this technology in a way that really strengthens the electric grid.
Danny, Georgia will be sixth in the nation in installed solar in 2024. And I know that on the Georgia Power system, we really began to add solar 2012, 2013, continued to grow. We put this avoided cost threshold there, which actually put downward pressure on people's rates. And I think a lot of my Republican friends were surprised to hear that the way we've done solar is quite economical.
I would agree with you there. The key to this, again, is making sure that we are smart in our decision-making processes as we implement solar. But just as my colleague here to my left shared, it's making sure that we have the product and we have the appetite and the awareness around it statewide.
Casey, Georgia's all of the above state, right? We got half natural gas generation. We got 21% nuclear, we got 8%, 9% solar, we got a little bit of hydro. We've got a little wind that we import from Oklahoma, and the rest coal.
It's really interesting kind of hearing these stats, because I saw something the other day that was really quite astounding to me, that the world is now installing 400 gigawatts annually of solar. Tim, how many gigawatts are Vogtle 3 and 4?
2.2 gigawatts.
So over the course of a weekend, the world installs enough solar as Vogtle 3 and 4 brought online in the state. That's incredible.
You know, we're getting some pushback from South Georgia folks about land usage. And I remind them, I said, look, first place, this solar's not going everywhere because it's got to be near a substation. So if you're not near a substation, your land's probably not even a prospect. Number two, we got 26 million acres of pine trees here in the state. So we've got a lot of trees. And so I really think the land usage is minuscule that solar's taking up. Jeff, you getting comments from people about land usage?
We are, and it is a serious issue to consider and something we're very sensitive about. And we want to make sure we use land in a proper way. It's no different than subdivisions and shopping center communities where you have to make definitive decisions about how you're going to use the resource you have. But I'll tell you, I've done some rough math, back of the envelope math, and we could... theoretically, this is only in theory, if we put enough solar to generate enough electricity in a year for all the state, we're still talking about only using about 3% of the arable farmland in the state. It is small in the scheme of things, but when you drive by it, it looks big. It's just, it's more of a visibility thing than it is a real risk of taking away major swaths of land that are not that would cause a problem for our economy.
That's good to hear, Jeff, because I think that's the first time I've heard someone put a number on it in Georgia in terms of how large, you know, an area of land we need. And it really, 3% is not much.
It's not much.
Yeah.
Just wrapping up another minute. Danny, if a person's listening to us and they are in some financial distress and their lights are on, but they're in jeopardy, what advice do you have for them?
So what the advice I would have for them is visit Georgia Power's website. There's tips about energy efficiency and clues that they can implement immediately, as well as reach out to my team, the energy assistance team, and we'll be glad to see if we can partner that customer with an organization that has funds available.
And Jeff, if a person, you know, thinks maybe they want to get solar on their house, maybe participate, you know, through their EMC, what's the best approach that they need to take?
Every co-op has at least one specialist that understands what solar energy means on rooftops and how to help customers make good decisions and pick good installers and good financial decisions. And the key is, we want to help customers put rooftop solar on if it meets their interests and needs. On the other hand, we want to make sure that they make decisions that are economically viable and help them pay their bills and do a good job.
Well, thanks to both of you for being on with Casey and I. Casey, coming up in segment four, a special hippie segment.
Your favorite.
Yeah, we all know and love that. So stick around. We appreciate you listening to Energy Matters. You can always go anywhere you get your podcasts and search for Energy Matters with Commissioner Eccles. And subscribe, follow us, like us, review us. We'd love to hear from you. Tim Eccles, stick around. One more segment. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill, simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at solarsunworld.com. solarsunworld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Echols back for, Casey, the hippie segment. My favorite
Your
segment.
Favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, we're having too much fun with this. I love 70s music. Playing with us in this segment, Casey, you and I, the regulars, of course, John Crawford here today. John, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Good to have you back in here. And Dr. David Gaddy, how's it going, Dr. Gaddy?
Good, Tim.
Well, you know how this works at home. We play a 70s song. And we're over here, you know, stretching our brains. And these guys haven't heard these songs in a while. And I asked them to think about an energy policy or something policy related that the song might relate to. So let's get started with our first song. Here we go.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past said. Boy, you got a friend in me.
Casey, this song, I love Toy Story. When I'm on a Delta plane, you know, I will watch this movie over and over again. It's so entertaining, but I mean this is a politician song right here, right? You've got a friend in me. This is what I want all my voters to be thinking about.
Well, and that's great. I think that's a, you know, certainly one of the ways you could take this. The other way that I was thinking about it, and something that we've talked a lot about on the show, is energy assistance, right? You know, when the road's hard, everyone has those times in their lives when the road is hard, and you know, reaching out to their commissioner to get assistance with things, reaching out to their utility, reaching out to organizations like the Salvation Army. There are plenty of people out there that can, you know, be friends to folks all the time, and especially when they need some help.
I was sitting in my office yesterday. Phone rang. I was going to a dinner. I was just hanging around waiting. I picked it up. Faith would normally answer it. 77-year-old lady crying because her gas bill had been stolen, she said. And the gas was turned off. And she said she had this condition that was going to put her in the ER if it didn't get fixed. And they couldn't get it turned on until tomorrow. Mm. And fortunately, our friends over at AGL picked up the phone when I called, and they got out there within an hour, turned her phone back, turned That's her gas great. Back on, and she was so thrilled. I called her later in the evening, and she was so grateful.
Good.
So we've got utilities that want to help people. We've got organizations like the Salvation Army. David, Dr. David Gaddy, when you hear this cool Toy Story song from the 70s, what do you think of?
So I think about a friend being somebody that's there all the time, but also there in a pinch. And so I'm going to go with natural gas. That is, we are using it right now for base load, natural gas, combined cycle. But we also need those peaker plants, Tim, when that demand is really going to start spiking up. That natural gas is always going to be there for us.
Yeah, and Georgia Power is going to build more CTs because when you need it, you need it, and you got to have it. You don't want to roll people off the grid. That is absolutely something we won't do.
By the way, Tim, I'm absolutely shocked that Dr. Gaddy went with natural gas. I thought he was going down the nuclear road.
Well, I've already played the nuclear card. I'm going to hold it for
okay,
later.
All right. Okay. John Crawford, what do you think about
it? Well, I'm from South Georgia, Valdosta, and I will tell you something that's still fresh in our minds as it relates to energy and utilities. But man, when the hurricane came through, no one really in our area thought that it would still be a Category 2 storm when it hit Valdosta, and it was. And the amount of devastation was unlike anything I'd ever seen personally. And I will tell you, it was an awfully good sight to see all those Georgia Power trucks come rolling in. I'm originally from the state of Alabama, and I will tell you, my wife and I got a little emotional when we saw some Alabama Power trucks come in. We had Mississippi Power trucks come in. We get all of the EMCs from all over the southeastern United States send trucks in. And for about 3 weeks there, it felt like we had a lot of friends from all over the southeastern United States trying to get our grid back up.
I love how our utilities work together. Logan, play our second song.
Love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind.
Casey, the Monkees, they sound a lot like the Beatles. And my Aunt Cindy, who was born on the same day as me, but she was 7 years older than me, she had a Monkees album. And that's where I got my initial exposure. John Crawford in Jessup, Georgia, by the way, where they lived. And my granddad worked at Fort Stewart in Hinesville, Georgia. You know, Casey, I think there's a lot of people now that they're a believer about nuclear energy. COP28 just wrapping up, 21 countries standing there. Many of them say they're going to triple the nuclear fleet. I think there's been a lot of changes due to the Ukrainian gas crisis and the boycott of Russian gas. What do you think about when you hear the Monkees and I'm a believer?
Well, I think that, you know, when we look at different people, different groups of people in the U.S. at least, there are a lot of people who believe fervently in whatever their chosen source of energy is, whether it's nuclear or whether it's renewables or natural gas or even coal. And I think one of the things that is missing, and you know what I hope we try to do on the show, and I know you try to do when you're talking with your constituents, is really understand that it's probably not what anyone in kind of any belief system thinks. It's probably some combination, right? So I guess I'd just encourage folks, you know, regardless of where you sit in terms of what you think we ought to be doing, open your mind, listen to others that have different perspectives, and you know, maybe be a little bit less convinced in your own rightness.
Wow. Dr. Gaddy, how about you when you
hear this
song?
This is a solid nuclear reactor response, Tim, and it comes on the heels of COP28 over the past 2 weeks, and we have been talking about carbon reduction, global carbon reduction, decarbonization, getting off of fossil fuels, which I don't believe is a reality and even shouldn't be pursued. But finally, nuclear power has stepped in as the response to reliability, low carbon, and also energy and national security. I think the COP folks finally got their calculators out and got some State Department folks in the room that told them that if America doesn't lead in this and the world doesn't move towards this with America, we're in trouble. Nuclear reactors, solid final answer.
And the Biden administration with Dr. Katie Huff, they were sitting out front saying the very same thing. Triple the nuclear fleet. We have to have it to meet the climate goal by 2050. John, what comes to your mind?
I'm going to piggyback on Dr. Gaddy and say that, you know, the Vogtle project and what Georgia Power and all of their partners have done over there, not without some challenges that were unforeseen, but what that is doing now for our state as a Georgian, I'm awfully proud that the first nuclear plant coming to the United States in 30-plus years is coming to Georgia, and I hope that the rest of the country gets on board with it because I'm certainly a believer.
Well, one more song here in our hippie segment. Logan, let's hear it.
Take a chance on the first in line. Take a chance, take a chance on the entree of free. Take a chance, take a chance on me. Take a chance, if you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. Take a chance, if you got no place to go when you're feeling down. Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown on the entree of free. Take a chance on me. Gonna do my very best.
Well, Casey, I'm going to be going to Finland for the Finland Energy Conference. I've never been to anything up there in Scandinavia, but I know these Norwegians are quite proud of all the electric vehicles that they have. And in some ways, they've cheated. And here's how they cheated, Casey. They're on their ICE engines. They had to use engine engine block heaters. And so they all have a plug out in front of their house because they had to plug their ice car into it to keep the thing from freezing. And now they've got this network ready-made for EVs. Nevertheless, high adoption. I'm really looking forward, and this band is from Scandinavia, so really looking forward to seeing what Scandinavia is doing when it comes to energy.
Well, it's funny, Tim, because I thought very much the same thing on this with electric vehicles, but we can also, you know, include other energy technologies, whether it's a demand response program from the utility, time of use program, or, you know, home battery storage, whatever. Part of this energy transition is we're asking consumers to take a chance on something that they're not necessarily familiar with. You know, you and I have had experience. We've had guests on that have experience with these things, and in some ways they're better. So, you know, I just encourage folks to take a chance on, you know, whether it's the EV or the smart thermostat, and see how it makes your life better.
Dr. Gaddy?
Carbon capture and storage. The energy transition itself, Tim, is taking a chance big time. World's not getting off fossil fuels. U.S. not going to get off of fossil fuels anytime soon. The reason is reliability and affordability. So if we're going to really aim towards this lower carbon future, world's going to keep burning fossil fuels. And if the U.S. does not, at least policy-wise, take a chance on carbon capture and storage, we're not going to reduce carbon emissions globally because the world's going to keep burning fossil fuels.
John, what do you think?
Well, something you and I have talked about a lot, and we don't really know exactly how we're going to transport it or how we're going to use it at the end, but I think hydrogen, federal government's made an $8 billion investment in hydrogen research, and I think they're going to take a chance on looking to see ways that we might be able to integrate hydrogen into the energy grid, and I'm a believer in that, so they're going to take a chance on that.
Thank you, our audience, for taking a chance on us for listening to Energy Matters today. You can find us anywhere you get your podcast by searching for Energy Matters with Commissioner Eccles. Thanks for being with us and have a great weekend, everyone.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.